everyone, to the Wild Orgasmic Wisdom podcast, where we explore the unified field of ecstatic genius underlying our everyday realities. I'm your host and quantum priestess, Kimberly Baudet. And my very special guest today is an award-winning actress and speaker performing with Transactors Improv Company, Danny Canoe, and various other improv companies in North Carolina. She also teaches improv throughout United States to corporations, organizations, and individuals who want to enhance their leadership and communication skills in creative and unique ways. She's an adjunct professor at UNC's Kenan Flagler School of Business, teaching applied improv to Masters of Accounting students. And she also produces and directs. Please join me in welcoming to the show Anu Tree Brode. Welcome, Anu.
Thank you. I'm like, where's the applause? I'm just kidding. It's like, it was like such a big intro and it's like, please help me, everybody. Everybody out there, please help me. And then I was just like, hi, it's me.
Okay. Everybody at home, I hope that you are applauding in the privacy of your own home during this time.
Like what? I'm going to speak for Kim too. We want big whoop whoops because she's a princess of like ecstatic genius. That was like the coolest. That was the coolest like self intro. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great when you can just give yourself whatever amazing title that you desire.
Yes, because you speak the truth.
Ah, so Anu is a really good friend of mine who I've known, I guess now for over a decade, which is incredible. I think it's possibly been more than 10 years. Yeah.
Maybe you're right. Maybe 11.
Ooh, wow. So I'd love to ask you today, what's alive for you, especially during these crazy corona times?
Oh, damn. You just like jump into the deep end. That's usually like everyone's final question. You like took me off guard there. Okay. What's what is alive for me is because the world has stopped right now. Really diving into a soul place. I think that's what I want to say. I feel like I'm a pretty soulful person and I live in a soulful way, but this pandemic has given me an opportunity to like live in a even more expanded way from a soul place. So what that means for me is I get to spend like usually one to two hours out in the woods barefoot every day. And before the pandemic, it was like about 20 to 30 minutes every day barefoot in the woods. So it's like a ritual I've had for a while. But man, so yesterday I did a Facebook Live from this pipe and in the middle of a river. So like, I'm just giving you a sample of what's alive for me. So we had a ton of rain. And this creek turned into this rushing river. And I shimmied out onto this pipe with like straddling it with my legs. Wild orgasmic wisdom. No, there was none of that. And I just let my feet dangle into the cool river, which was like pushing me with its force. And it was about, you know, 60 something degrees out. It was like kind of slightly chilly. And I just sat on a pipe and let my feet like be blessed and like caressed by the beautiful wild water. And I got to share it with the world. So it's like nature, but then it's like bringing this light that's coming through me and like sharing it with an audience. This is so cool. You're actually like really helping me articulate some things. Yeah. Bringing the light that's coming through me and then sharing it with an audience. That's like my jam. So whether I do it through performance in my everyday life or doing it like I just talked about, that feels like really alive for me.
That is so good and just yummy. And I can't help but notice the contrast of like that time that you would normally spend in the woods, it sounds like would normally be pretty private or like with one other person maybe. And private. It's like, yeah, okay. So it's become this thing that you can, if you want to, I mean, you could have done that before, obviously, but it's almost like the pandemic has kind of like brought that possibility more to the surface. Does that feel true.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you're just making me think of things in a new way. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that feels true.
Interesting. Yeah. What are some other ways that you think that this experience that we're having, obviously, I want to acknowledge that there are people that are dying and people that are suffering. That's obviously happening. So I'm not trying to make light of a challenging situation. Like, everybody's having a different experience right now. But what do you think might be some other ways that this experience is changing us, either as individuals or culturally? Like, what do you think this is stirring up?
I mean, it's like a really big question. And yeah, I don't want to deny anybody's suffering either. I guess from like a micro level, you know, like people are suffering and people are doing their things. But then if you like pull back the lens, it just seems like to me, and we all have our own theories, the feeling I have about it, I guess it's a little bit hard to talk about because I'm always scared people are going to get mad at me for my thoughts.
I'm with you on that.
Oh my God. It's like, I'm not allowed to say my thoughts. I'm going to get crucified. I guess I feel like we're birthing a new world, and we have been birthing a new world, but this was like go time, like motherfucker, like birth. Start doing like the, you know, because it's happening. And I guess also my feeling is that the world that we were in wasn't working, like it wasn't sustainable. And I speak from personal experience, you know, struggling with chronic illness and anxiety and depression. And I certainly know I'm not alone in that kind of thing. I don't think the pace we've had set up works for most human beings. And maybe I'm projecting because it didn't work for me.
Yeah, I mean, well, we might be sort of similar souls, and I can say that it doesn't work for me either, but I don't know. What do you guys think out there? Does it work for you?
Yeah, does it work for you? Like, I'm certainly not like a naturally, well, I don't know. Like, I'm a very fiery person. Like, I have a lot of fire in my energy, and so I like to do everything quick, and I drive fast, and I talk fast, and I blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not like I'm like this, whoa, what's that? You know, like, I can be that, but like, but I'm like driving because I drive to the woods every day, and I'm like, oh, I don't have to speed. I don't have to speed. Where am I going? Like, what the hell am I speeding to and from? Like, there's nowhere to fucking go. It's like hilarious to me. I don't know.
The police aren't chasing you, or.
The police are not chasing me. There's no class I have to get to. There's no performance I have to get to. Like, what if I just drove slow? And then I was thinking about it. It was like, oh, but I don't want people to get annoyed with me. And like, there's just like this, oh my God, there's like a chronic static of like, hurry, 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 so that other people aren't annoyed with me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that annoying slow driver.
Right. Yeah.
But I kind of want to be that annoying slow driver now. I don't want to be that person. That's who I am. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Be that annoying slow driver you want to see in the world. You can give yourself the finger. I don't know. Like,
I'm in love with that. Be that annoying slow driver you want to see in the world. Did you just take be the piece you want to see in the world and switch it up?
Oh, is that the original one? I just know that it's be the whatever you want to see. Like, you can just put anything there, I guess, and it works. I didn't know what the original one was. Be the piece. Oh, yeah, be the piece you want to see. Is that like the coexist bumper sticker? Anyway.
I don't know.
Goodness gracious. So what else do I want to ask you? I tend to jump all over the place when I'm doing these interviews sometimes. I just like to follow my flow.
I love your flow.
Thanks. So let's talk about I want to talk a little bit about what you do. I might want to talk about like your improv, like your performance a little bit later, but I'd really love to talk to you about the fact that you not only perform improv, but that you teach it, and not just to actors, you actually teach it to accounting students, which seems so counterintuitive and paradoxical, but I love it because I know that it has to be incredible for them. What kind of shifts do you notice in your students, whether they're accounting students or just like other types of people, when they begin on their path to improv? Like, what kind of things do you notice?
You can say, or normal people.
Or normal people.
Just kidding. I love my accountants. I love you guys.
We love you, accountants.
I do. I actually really love my accountants. Yeah, that's a great question. Flag a funny meme I saw about that's a great question. Okay. I see so many shifts. Like it's quite astounding and fulfilling. So like right now I'm teaching a class on Zoom, which is really fun because I have people from 7 different states. So now that we're, you know, this is another, like, I don't want to be insensitive, but I kind of like the phrase perk of the pandemic, is that we're not local anymore. This is like, there is something global being birthed through all of this. So we've got people from 7 different states in the US, and I'm in North Carolina, and this one lovely lady who's taking my class is from South Dakota, and she's just been gushing about, so we're like 3 weeks into a 5-week class, and we meet twice a week, and she's been gushing about how she's had all these shifts already with her social anxiety, and she just feels more connection and more joy in her life. And I'm like, bam, like this is why I do what I do. And I hear this kind of thing all the time, but the way I usually talk about it is, as adults, we kind of walk around like oftentimes from the neck up, and we're thinking, and we can get disconnected from, you know, everything from the neck down, which I know you're very familiar with in your line of work. And I just feel like what happens is we kind of lose our sparkle a little bit, maybe, as adults. And one of the things I see my improv classes do is it brings people's sparkle back to their eyes.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, you help people bring their sparkle back.
Yeah. I mean, I have a good medium improv. Like it's kind of perfect. It's perfect for me, but it's just a great medium to help people come alive again.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And I really love how your work, that you are a really spiritual person, and that improv is kind of all tied in with your spirituality. Like there's not really a clear division between the two. It's like, you're spiritual and you do improv, and it's all kind of part of the same world.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Like ordinarily, like I'm getting bolder as I'm growing, and as I'm going through this pandemic experience, it's really, I'm having a lot of internal shifts. But generally speaking, you know that about me because we're good friends, but I certainly don't advertise that. And I even until recently do try to hide that a lot, because I feel a lot of fear around admitting my weird beliefs. And but it's always inside of me. Like I say prayers before my class. I ask that everybody walk out of class at a higher vibration than when they came in. I ask that we all walk out of class feeling more connected to who we truly are. So it's definitely part of my work, but it's been more of like a secret hidden part of my work.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think a lot of us who are kind of woo, even if it's like a grounded woo, are used to sort of like covering up that light a little bit for certain situations.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know if you know the teacher and author Rebecca Campbell, who's really cool. Mm-hmm. She wrote Light is the New Black. It's a really, really good book. But she talks about those of us who came to our spirituality earlier in life tend to have a big fear around coming out of the closet around it. Whereas those who come to it later are just like, cool, this is like this new thing that I'm discovering. And they don't have these layers of like shame and fear around it. And I was like, oh, that's really, really interesting. So I've had like decades of like hiding who I am and hiding my spirituality. It's not like this thing that I discovered when I was 30 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I can relate to as well. Like, as somebody who has always felt really connected to spirit, even if I didn't have the language to call it that. Why do you think that is? Does it have to do with like cultural conditioning or just like what our families reflect back to us? Like, why do you think it might be more acceptable to like come have some big awakening like later in life?
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess just freeforming, like, I think we get like, I'll take me and I'm sure you can relate. Like, I have this thing and I see from my little sensitive eyes that it's not celebrated and it's not rewarded as a younger person. And it's ridiculed and made fun of. Yes, definitely from my family personally, and then also on a grander scale societally. And so I learn to hide, you know, at that time. And then I just develop a habit of like shame and hiding. Whereas somebody who just discovers it later is just like, they haven't learned that shame and that hiding. They're just like, oh, this is, and maybe they were even the ones who were, this is where like, this is the burn, baby. Let me know what you think about this. Like, these people who were rid of fucking culing us are now like, I discovered this great fucking thing called spirituality. And like, I'm super into like yoga and like parallel universes and quantum shit. And I'm like, motherfucker, you're the one who I'm like hiding my own spirituality because of you. Okay, a little bit of anger there.
Feeling it, yeah. Feeling the desire behind that anger, which is like, let me be free of shame. Like, let me have my deep connection. Let it be celebrated in society. Like, it should have been celebrated, obviously, when you were young. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that happens, that seems to happen with a lot of stuff. Like, you know, geek culture, nerd culture has become like super cool now. Whereas like these are the people, and myself included, who were kind of like low on the totem pole socially, you know, back in the day. So like, why, I don't know if you have some thoughts on this, why do you think spirituality and like woo-woo stuff is ridiculed in a lot of communities?
I guess, again, just freeforming, because this is not stuff I think about a lot, like the whys behind it. But I guess we could look at like what's very popular right now, masculine energy versus feminine energy. Mm. Woo tends to be more in the feminine energy, and our culture has celebrated the masculine energy. Can you prove it? You know, is it logical? Can you prove it? If it exists in, you know, intuition or from your senses or from any of these other realms, then we're going to squash it. And I'm sure there's a big history around that. And I'm just not the person to talk to about that, because I'm just not really, I don't care. But, but you know, that's just like what comes to mind. What do you think?
Yeah, I love your honesty. Yeah, it's like, there's no point in talking about something that's like not interesting to you. I feel the same way. someone else can get into that. That's fine.
Yes, totally.
that feels pretty accurate. And yeah, there's been this celebration of intellect over spirit, intellect over felt sense, intellect over body. I feel like I've brought this up in another one of my podcasts, but it's one of my favorite things to mention. So I'll bring it up again. Just the fact, you know, I love science. I'll just preface this by saying, like, I love science. Like, I'm really like science geeky person. I love, you know, researching and studying scientifically. But what I find interesting is like this hard line that some people seem to express between like, okay, here's science, and then here's like woo-woo spirituality stuff. And it's like, you can't prove, you know, the spiritual experience you had. It's like, it can't be replicated, so therefore it's unscientific, and therefore like we're not gonna consider it as fact or truth or whatever. But what I find interesting is that this concept of objectivity versus subjectivity, like, science is supposed to be objective. It's like, okay, we can repeat the experiment and you're gonna get the same result as I did, you know, supposedly. It doesn't always happen that way. But it's like, we can never remove ourselves from the human experience. We can't exit our bodies and be like, I'm going to conduct this experiment from the perspective of God knows what. So it's like, even hard sciences are still at the mercy of the human instrument. Like, you can't
remove
yourself. And so for me, that's the biggest indicator that the hard sciences and the soft sciences are on this spectrum. And like, yeah, science and spirituality, they're like cut from the same cloth. Like, spirituality is practical, it is rational. So yeah, that's like my little soap.
Super cool. Well, I think you're definitely somebody to talk about that kind of thing, since you have the bridge between, you've always had the passion for both, and you have just a really cool perspective and a way to articulate it that I'm sure a lot of people would find really, really interesting. I do want to say, I guess there's a thought that I have,
yeah,
which is, I'm also coming into a new phase of my life where I've talked to you about this personally, but I'm very also allergic to spiritual bullshit. So I'm such a deeply, deeply spiritual person, and I've been on this path for such a long time, that I'm beginning to see the ways that I've been wounded by my spiritual trainings. And so I don't know, it's just like a really cool phase of like, taking the stuff that's truly, truly mine and really just like flipping the other stuff the fuck off. I hope, like, I know I'm swearing a lot on your podcast.
That's great. It's fine. Yeah. We welcome it. We.
Okay. I should have asked you first. I figured you would be like a good person to swear around. But anyway, yeah, so I think, yeah, there's a lot about spirituality that's pretty toxic. And so I just want to kind of like put that out there as well.
Yes, totally agree. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the difference between like helpful spirituality and toxic spirituality?
I do, but I get like, this is where it gets like tricky territory for me. You can edit this out.
Okay, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if this makes it to the final cut.
So I think one of the biggest ways that I've been burned, and it has been very toxic for me, is talking about you're in your story. There's a big phrase in spirituality, you're in your story. And there has been one thing that has helped me heal more than anything on the planet, and that is to tell my story and to have my story be heard. And I shut the fuck up my whole life because I didn't want people telling me I was in my fucking story. And I got burned by a few people when I started to try to open up to them, you know, you're in your story. And I believe, like, author and therapist Jeff Brown says, like, we don't want to bypass our story. We need to get deep into our story. We need to like really let our story have our way with us. We have to like completely own our story. There's no way around it. But I've certainly spiritually bypassed, and I see other people doing it, and I think it's toxic, and I'm just going to call it what it is. I think it's toxic.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like when you don't have permission to tell your story, to have the other person or whatever community, whoever you're in front of, say, I hear you deeply. Even if the other person can't fully put themselves in your shoes, like even if they're having a hard time like empathizing, just to be heard,
yes,
is so powerful. And that transforms, that's what transforms the story,
That is what transforms the story. That is exactly what transforms the story. So it's related to the other toxic thing in spiritual law of attraction communities, which is like, you have to be positive all the time. And I just see people, including myself, although I'm coming out the other end, beating ourselves up when we're not in a certain mood or a certain frame of mind. And how fucking, you want to talk about oppression? That's oppression right there. That's masculine energy right there. And I don't mean masculine like male, female. Like, I mean like the patriarchy going, you have to be this one certain way, Whereas feminine energy, from what I understand, is like fucking, you know, both of us have the word wild in our title of what we do. Wild orgasmic wisdom, wild mind improv. It's like, it's wild. Energy moves through us freely and chaotically and gorgeously. And we can be angry and we can be sad and we can be happy and we can be jealous and we can be fearful. You know, we have to embrace all of the emotions and just like full circle here, because now I'm on my soapbox. That's one of the gifts that improv gives individuals, whether you're a professional performer or you're taking classes. It's like, when you come into my class, you have a space where you can express all of the emotions. And even if it's through a character and not through you, quote unquote, you get the place to let those things out. The society has said, you're not supposed to do that because you're supposed to be a happy little girl and you're supposed to be a good little girl and you're supposed to be a nice boy and you're supposed to be a this. Like, it's men and women both. We get the fuck wounded out of us by all these messages about how we should be.
Fuck yeah. I'm okay, everybody. Is everybody clapping at home? You can put that applause again. Yes. Yeah, I wanna jump on that and talk about toxic masculinity. And again, like you said, we're not talking about men versus women. We're just talking about like patriarchy and energy, like that kind of toxic masculinity. And it's heartbreaking because like the masculine, I mean, obviously the feminine has been deeply wounded, and like I think that's something that we're at least more familiar with, that being discussed in society. But like the wounded masculine, you know, that has, because of the patriarchy, feels the need to project onto the feminine and say like, oh, like that's bad that you feel angry. Like, you're not supposed to be feeling that way. That's not logical that you feel that way. Like, just invalidates, because my impression is that the wounded masculine is so, they haven't been given that permission or that education of like, it's safe to feel angry. It's safe to feel sad. And here are some tools, like here's how you can express those feelings and go deeper into them so that they can move through your body and you can like integrate them and release them and digest them rather than bypassing them and then having them like explode at some later date.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel, yeah, I think men have been extremely hurt in this world. And I think that gets overlooked a lot. You know, don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. And what do you do when little boys aren't allowed to cry and they get, you know, wounded over and over and over? Of course, that's going to erupt in mass shootings. Like, come on, people, wake up. Yes, gun control is important, but like, let's get to the root of what's going on, which is, once again, full circle, the society that we have created is not sustainable. And in some ways, I'm like, of course people are like going on rampages. Like we need to meet people and see people and hear people.
Yeah. For me, the phrase that comes to mind is, you're going to laugh, maybe, even though it's not funny, but you have permission to laugh. The phrase that comes to mind is emotional circumcision. And I think you probably remember passionate I am, like how anti-circumcision I am. I haven't discussed that on podcasts before. Yeah. But, you know, that's
with
what
you,
we do.
I'm with you. Sorry, go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah. So it's like, that's what we do. I mean, we do it to little girls too. And I'm not trying to be binary, like little people, but like men especially have been really emotionally circumcised, is how I would think about it. So yeah. Let your children feel their feelings.
Yeah. And I think women have been hurt in different ways, but that's a particular way that men have been squished. I mean, that's like the word that comes to mind, like energetically squished, you know. And we have our own issues. And not to say, you know, it's not just male, female, because I grew up in an extremely masculine household. So I was completely shut off of my emotions until I got out of that house and learned, like, I couldn't cry. I couldn't contact any feelings. So I understand that feeling very firsthand of being 100% squished and not allowed to like feel and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, that got like super intense.
Yeah, that was all. I was like, let's fucking nail it. Yeah. So in another interview that I listened to you do recently, You talked a little bit about synchronicity, listening to your intuition, things like that. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think the difference is? What does the difference feel like for you between approaching something challenging that you are going to be courageous and do anyway versus getting like an intuitive no, like this is not for you?
Ooh, that's like a deep question. I feel like you're about to say something else. Go ahead.
I was just going to sort of reiterate. Yeah. Just the difference between like, yes, but it's difficult versus like, no.
Damn. You like dive into the deep dive with your questions. We don't like softly, gently wade into the water. that's like the hardest intuition question there is.
Oh, shit.
You're like, we're going to go there right now. Okay. That is one that I'm like working with right now. It's really complex. I know I keep saying the same thing over and over.
We can come back. I don't know. We can come back to that if you want. And maybe the listeners are coming up with their own answers about that question. I think that that's why I wanted to ask you this question, is because that's like a question I ask myself, because I think I really admire your ability to, I've always admired your ability to listen to your intuition, and the fact that your intuition seems to speak so clearly to you. And I have a lot of times in my life where my intuition is super clear and like super on point. It's like, okay, cool. Like, let's go here. Let's go there. And then there are times where I feel like, I don't know if it's like my brain coming in or my intuition coming in where it's like, oh, I don't know, maybe not. Or like I talk myself into something or out of something. And I think those are the moments where I can make decisions and not be 100% sure that I'm making the right decision, but that's just how it is in those moments. So I guess that's the answer I would say, is like, sometimes it's clear and sometimes it ain't.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. Sometimes it's clear and sometimes it ain't. one of the things you said is kind of highlighted for me, so I'll just hop on that, which is the term right decision. When I was in my early 20s or mid 20s or something, I read the book Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers, I believe it was. And she brought a concept to me through that book that I had never thought about, which was there is no wrong decisions. And like, here we are, you know, 20 years later, and I'm just like, that one sentence in a book has reverberated throughout my whole life. So if we can take the pressure off of ourselves by saying, there absolutely are no wrong decisions. Like, every choice is going to take you on a path that is going to cause you to grow. I'm not talking to you. I'm just saying one. Like, I know you know this. It's going to cause me to grow. And if there is, this is a, like, I think it's better, this conversation maybe is better as a conversation than like me answering a question. Cause like, as we're talking about it, it's illuminating a lot of really interesting things. So like, if there's something that's in that gray area, like not a clear yes or not a clear no, you at some point have to make some decision, probably, right? Or one has to make a decision, and they do. And then it becomes clear. So if you start going away from what feels like a yes, that's going to become clear. And let me start saying I, then you. Or if I start going towards a thing that feels like a yes, that's going to become clear too. So I think it's like taking the pressure off of having to know right away and having to make any kind of right decision.
Yeah, that's very wise. Yeah, it's like, you know. Yeah, at some point you do get the feedback of like, this doesn't feel amazing. Now I need to make a different decision.
Yeah. And don't you think like there are no right decisions? I mean, we could go off for hours on this conversation, but like,
I do actually. Yeah. I feel like life is a choose your own adventure novel, and you're just going to have different experiences. I mean, who knows? Now we're getting into the parallel universe conversation, I think. But it's like, if you were to zoom out and look at like your infinite parallel lives, who knows, you might be getting the same lessons in life, regardless of different choices you make, but they might occur differently or with different timing.
I love that. I think I'm feeling called to just say one thing before we go too far into the woo land. cool woo land, but just like, I feel like there might be people out there going, but I need a little more grounding around this. And so like, mm-hmm. I would just say my basic litmus test is, does this thing light me up? And if it lights me up, it's always go forward, always go forward. Does it give me a feeling of being constricted or dark or heavy? That's my version of a no. So you got to find, one has to find their own, how their body speaks to them about what a yes is and what a no is. And then when you get into that challenging place of like, is this resistance? Is this the more you start practicing in the clear ways, in the little ways, the more that stuff just kind of happens. Like I've found that like the more I follow my intuition, because I've been practicing it for a good long while, it's like my body kind of has taken over in a lot of ways. And so like I had a circumstance, I didn't want to do something recently. I was scared to do it and I didn't want to do it. And I'm kind of in this phase during the quarantine where I'm not doing anything I don't want to do. But something beyond me was like, do this thing. You know, you don't want to do it, but take one for the team and do it. And I did it and I faced my fear and it was wonderfully expansive. So it's like, I didn't have to get into like hours and hours and hours of head tripping about whether to do it or whether to not do it. It's like something kind of took over, like you're going to do this thing. And I did it and it was the right thing for me, even though I was in some fear around it. I don't know if that's like too, is what I'm saying making sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense. Okay. And I can relate. Yeah, I can relate to that.
Just start, I just want to tell people, just like if you're in that place of wanting to start, just start practicing following, like I was saying in the other podcast that you might have listened to, it's like, you know, when you're going on a usual route somewhere and something tells you to make a left turn instead of right turn, like in a low stakes thing like that, just experiment with what happens when you turn left rather than turning right, or experiment with what happens when you eat the thing that you totally feel like, I want to eat this tonight. You know, like we're so heavy, you know, we're so freaking heavy, myself included, around like doing it right and getting it right. And just like, and this is full circle to improv, like just like start, I think we could all afford to start playing more with everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't count the number of times that I have like randomly decided to stop somewhere, like at a cafe or whatever. And it's like, maybe not something that I would have done, but I just sort of got the hit like, okay, like I need to go there. And then I run into somebody, I have some like amazing conversation that I needed to have to like jumpstart some other project or whatever. Yeah.
That, so you asked me what makes me feel alive, like this conversation makes me feel so alive, because when we start living that way, and I don't want to be super woo or super fluff because life can be extremely challenging, but it is to me, like when I'm hearing you talking, like a portal opens up in the universe and we begin to live with magic. So I'm like a magic based person. Like magic is incredibly important to me. Like I love the feeling of magic more than anything. And intuition and living through intuition is one of the big portals to magic. So I love that, you know, something in you is just like, hey, it can be just like a thought. It's not like this strong tornado comes over your body, like stop at this cafe. It can literally be as simple as, oh, I feel like getting fries, I'm gonna stop at this cafe. Like this is the gentleness with which intuition works. It can just float into your mind and something in you is like, hey, I'm gonna do that. Like, again, to whoever is listening, just start practicing. Like just have fun with it. And then if you wanna take it a step further, start keeping an intuition journal. and see, like, start to note what happens. Like, oh, I had this thought and I followed it and I ran into this person that gave me this compliment that I needed to hear, or took me on this path in my work, or, you know, you can start tracking it, which can be really grounding and validating as you're on the journey.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, thank you for that reminder. And I love the concept of just being, of grounding in spiritual practices, like of bringing, of grounding through having these practices. And I think keeping a journal around things like that, it's just so, I mean, without fail, those phenomena start showing up more often.
Yes, the more we pay attention, like that's one of the magic portals of the universe. It's like the more we pay attention, the more they start to happen. And just also, you know, good word, which I hate this word. I used to hate this word, like patience. Be patient too. Like, because we are on the earth plane, you know, the ungrounded in us wants things to happen right away and wants the magic. And I want to feel the magic. I went into the woods and I didn't feel the magic. So I'm not going to go in the woods anymore. And you know, it's like, motherfucker, like you're on the earth plane. Like things take time. I'm talking to myself when I say motherfucker, like things take time on this path. So if you are committed and dedicated to something, like that's where the grounding comes in. You're going to begin to experience the things you want to experience, but just like make it a practice. Like we need to start practicing things rather than like, you know, expecting it to happen right away. Sorry, I'm going off in like some weird direction, but I'm just following it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally feel like I'm hearing people who are listening right now and I'm like responding to them. And I know they haven't heard it yet, but I'm like, oh, well, let me say this for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another thing. Like, if we want to like dip back in for a second, just into quantum theory, like everything that's ever happened or ever will happen, like is happening right now. So like, you're totally hearing them. Like, hi, future guests. Like,
hi. We called you. We called you and you heard our call. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for all your good energy and good vibes. Really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, it's cool because these people who we don't know who they are, just to piggyback on what you're saying, are creating this interview right now. Like they're coming in with their desires and their thoughts and they're like, this is what I want you to talk about right now. Because like, I'm talking about shit that like I usually would not the hell talk about. But I'm like, you know, and part of that is the magic between me and you, of course. But I do think that there's also something going on. And I can only like go into these places talking to you, not only you, but like, you know, I just know you're so receptive to this kind of thing. It's just making me much more open to saying these things.
Totally. We're creating a magic portal right now, this podcast. So like, what do you guys want us to talk about next?
Well, I have a thought.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just thought this might be fun for some listeners. So I'm one of the, you know, connecting with intuition and synchronicity and magic and the natural world. I'm pretty sure you're into this as well. I just think animals are so awesome. So I just wanted to tell a little story from something that's been happening since the pandemic started and something that happened yesterday. I think it's really fun to notice, well, it's a relationship. So you got to like start wherever you are and develop a relationship with nature if that's something interesting to you. But when this quarantine started, I started seeing this owl on my walks, this big, huge, beautiful barred owl. And it was very significant to me. I was really struggling with a very big decision, going back to decisions. And I knew what I needed to do. And I knew that I had to face a big fear if I was going to do this thing, a fear of people getting mad at me and disappointing people and all that kind of stuff. And this owl, without fail, over the course of a week and a half, showed up 5 times. Now, this is during the day. Owls are usually out at night. And it was just like there. And I knew it was super, super significant. And then I made this decision and the owl disappeared. Like it just stopped showing up. And I was like, okay, you know, the owl's done its work with me. Thank you, owl. And then like a couple weeks ago, I was out in the woods and the owl came back. And that was super cool. So let me just fast forward. Yesterday I was walking. I went for a walk alone yesterday. And as I mentioned earlier, I've been doing these Facebook Lives. And for me, Facebook Live, you would think as a performer, like it would be no big deal. But it's totally an edge for me of like, who wants to watch me? And how dare I think I should like take time to talk and anyone would want to tune in? And like just a lot of my own personal edges have come up. And I've been doing them with, I've done them with a friend there every time. And then one time this other person was like, will you do a live today? She messages me. And I didn't have a friend. And I was like, I'm really nervous, but I'm going to do it anyway. She encouraged me. And so I did the live. So yesterday, after I had shimmied across my pipe, I was like, this would be the coolest place to do a live on the way back. So I knew in my brain that I was going to do it. Usually it's totally spontaneous and I was alone. And I was walking back to get to the pipe on my way towards my car. And I had this thought, which was, ooh, this is going to be my second live on my own where I don't have a friend next to me. And it makes me really nervous. And right at that second, this huge wingspan caught my eye from the right corner of my eye and just went right through the air. And it was owl and just flew right by me and landed in the trees. And I wasn't wearing my glasses. So I was like, where did it land? I ended up finding it. But I like to pay attention. This is all getting to one thing, which is I like to pay attention to what was I thinking when something really interesting and out of the ordinary happened. And to me, I remembered exactly what I was thinking. It was my anxiousness about doing this live by myself. And to me, that was like a complete validation that owl came right at that moment. And it was like, do this. Like, who cares if you don't get a lot of people watching? Who cares if people think you're XYZ? Like, and I still don't really know why I was supposed to do it, except to say I did it and I had the best time. Talk about live. I felt so alive. I'm sitting there like on a pipe with a river rushing under me and a video camera, like all the things I love all together. So that long, long, long story was to say, like, start noticing like how the universe is speaking to you, what you're thinking when you see certain things. Like, don't get crazy, but like, hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I noticed that a lot with hawks too.
Yes.
That's like my personal, like I get really excited when I'm like only having a thought and the hawk will be like, oh. And sometimes it's when I'm having like a really negative thought. Sometimes it's when I'm having like a really like, you know, an epiphany. I love that.
Do you think that the hawk is, what do you think the hawk is telling you? Or is it different on different times?
I guess it's almost like the hawk is like punctuating whatever I'm thinking. It's saying like, hey, watch that thought. Like if I'm like going into a negative spiral, it's like, hey, like just checking in. Like, are you being conscious of like what you're thinking?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a wake up. Wake up. Like a sweet little wake up.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Cool.
Yeah, animals are incredible. They're just like, it's like the part of ourselves that has become subconscious. Like they're just like living it is kind of how it feels. Like they're living in their moment, in their truth, and they can't really deviate from that. Where it's like as humans, we've kind of like split off some part of ourselves and like it's become our unconscious.
Oh.
I don't know. That just came into my mind. I have never had that thought before.
So. You're like freaking like connected to some shit. You're like fucking channeling some star being shit right now. It's like awesome.
It's like it's being in presence with you as well that like activates. I think we activate each other.
Yeah.
So that's
awesome.
So I want to share with our listeners just that Anu and I actually met doing a theater piece together.
Yes.
And it's just kind of funny that we are able, you know, that we have these like deep conversations and we talk about a lot of spiritual stuff, because in this theater piece, Anu was playing Mary, mother of Jesus, and I was playing Jesus's secret gay twin half sister. So it's just really interesting. Set the tone for our friendship.
It kind of did. You know what's funny? I sometimes like to think about important people in my life, like you are, and like a lot of them, not across the board, a lot of them, we may have talked about this recently, I have some sort of download when I first see them. Like, not, again, not like super conscious, but it's completely emblazoned in my mind the first moment I saw you. Feeling on some level, some, like, I remember feeling it, like some magnetization. And I guess the way I would say it is something in me remembered when I saw you.
Yeah, I feel that way too. And when you use the phrase, I think we used to use the phrase like soul pod a lot. And that feels very sweet to me. It's like, yeah, you're just so familiar.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I remember you walked into, we were rehearsing at this woman's house, Karen Trout. Hey, Karen, if you're listening.
Hi, Karen.
you were late. And you walked in and you were like, I'm sorry. And your energy was so like different than mine. Like I think we're extremely similar in a lot of ways, but you're an introvert and I'm an extrovert, even though I feel very much like an introvert. Your energy was so contained. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, I don't know. It's just, I was very drawn. Like, I remember that moment. I totally have it emblazoned on me.
I love that you remember that. And I, like, when I remember walking in that door, it's funny that you mentioned that. And I'm so glad to have friends like you who like can reflect things back to me, because I think I was so inside myself. You know, it takes me time to start to open up, to like notice who's there, like what's the energy, what's going on. I've kind of come in like protecting and like very internalized.
Oh, okay.
So, I didn't notice you immediately because I was so like concerned about like, oh gosh, I'm late, like I'm always late, you know, that kind of I'm on Pisces time.
Interesting.
But yeah, just having that, like,
so let's like take that and like connect it. Can I say something?
Please.
So back to some of the toxic stuff around spirituality, is like, you have to be in a high vibe all the time. You have to be feeling good. You have to be feeling great. And here you were maybe feeling a little bit, you used some words. I can't remember what you said, like just feeling a little bit guilty or something. I don't know. What were you feeling?
Like sheepish, or like just wanting to make sure that the people that I'm coming to know, like, yes, I'm acknowledging that I'm like, so that they know that I'm not just this arrogant, like asshole who's like walking in late, like, I don't give a fuck about y'all.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Well, my point doesn't work as well now, but, that definitely came through. I guess it's just that like, we can see people, let's say you met me and I was going through depression and I was feeling really bad about the fact that I was depressed and like nobody could love me and da da da. I'm kind of like going off now. Like I'm skipping a few whatevers. But maybe when you met me, you saw right through me and you saw my essence, even though I was depressed. So the point being, we don't have to be in a high vibe to be seen. We don't have to be in a high vibe to manifest. We don't have to be whatever to whatever.
I mean, that makes so much sense to me. And I think you're actually helping me remember this meeting, because I think I was actually like, when I met you, I was like, oh, she sees me. Like I see her and she sees me. And I was so not used to that.
Really? You had that thought?
Like it was like a conscious, like solidified thought that like was that exact phrase, but like, it was this feeling of like, oh, like she sees me, because it personally I guess I don't have that experience super often of like feeling deeply seen. So when you were able to, when I felt deeply seen in your presence,
oh my gosh, like, that makes me feel so good. Okay, so let me piggyback on that for a second. So I think back to that time 10 years ago, and I think maybe in a self-judgmental way, like, God, I was such a hot mess. Like, I was still struggling so much with X, Y, Z. And then you're telling me I could fucking see you. And I'm like, oh God, like, we might be giving people gifts, like, even when we're just totally immersed in our own crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's just a lot here.
Yeah. I love this. I love this. So it's like, I feel like what's coming is like, never doubt your power to change people's lives for the better, even if you like feel totally worthless, even if you're like at your worst and you like don't know what you're doing. Like, you can still like touch someone deeply and change their life just with your presence, just with who you are.
Can we just let that sit? That is so big.
It's really healing.
Oh my God. Are we like I'm crying. It's so big. It's like the message of the day.
That's a really beautiful message. And I hope that if you're listening, that you can really receive that deeply, that you're a gift and that your presence is a gift. And even if you don't feel your best right now, like, we need you. Like, you're here for a reason.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback on that with this like deep soul conversation to say that, yeah, you are here. If you cannot see it right now, it's totally fine. You are completely here for a reason. Your presence here is not an accident. You've made it this far, and you're needed.
Thank you. And thank you, birds. The birds sound amazing where you are.
That's awesome. God, this is like the most different freaking interview. Like, I just love that we just let it go where the hell ever.
Hi, Wild Orgasmic Wisdom listeners. This is Kimberly Baudet, just taking a brief pause from the interview to let you know that you can now offer monthly support to the Wild Orgasmic Wisdom podcast. For as little as $3 a month, you can receive such perks as your name or business name in the credits of each YouTube version of the podcast, exclusive access to live monthly Q&A sessions with me, on-air thank yous using your name or business name, and even access to downloadable MP3 versions of all podcasts prior to their release. So if you're interested, please go to patreon.com/Sirona, and thank you so much for your support.
I did want to ask, how does an improv class change when it's over Zoom versus like an in-person improv class? Like, what's that experience like for somebody taking an improv class on Zoom?
Yeah, it's been really, really interesting. I was kind of expressing this to somebody I saw yesterday. So it's very different. But what's interesting to me, and I know you'll understand this, is the feeling is the same. So obviously there's so much that we have to kind of like tweak and create when it's online. I mean, there's a lot that you actually, I'm actually shocked by how much you can actually do online, like how many of the exercises and games, and you have to kind of tweak them a little bit. So I'm on a learning curve with that. But what is delightful to me is what I just said a second ago, which is the feeling is the same. The feeling of joy and fun and connecting with other people and playing and expanding ourselves. It really does translate onto Zoom. It just really does, because everything's energy and intention. So if we have that energy and intention, it doesn't really matter if we're in person versus online. And I think I said this earlier, but the super cool thing is now location doesn't have to hinder us. You know, yeah. We can have people all over the world in one location, which is cool. But I guess one of the challenges, one of the things that I want to work with figuring out is improv is pretty physical. And I don't mean like you're sweating up a storm physical, but I mean, it's the way I teach it and the way I do it is very body-based. So figuring out a way to make it a little bit more physical.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
If that answered.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that. And so I asked this question a little bit differently earlier, but how do you see that improv translates into real life and vice versa? Like, what have you noticed in yourself? Like, what's the impact of having an improv practice or doing improv?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a fun question. And I could literally talk for hours on this, but self-confidence is like a really big thing that improv helps people with, including myself. I haven't mentioned this yet, but I used to have very, very extreme social anxiety. So I've worked on that in a variety of different ways in my life, but having the practice almost daily for me at this point of improv has really helped my confidence. Because in improv, you learn that when you're on stage, you have to 100% commit to everything. Like, you have to be in whatever you're doing 100%. And that is self-confidence. Like, you can have all your fears, you can have all your doubts, but you can go back and think about them later. They can't be in the driver's seat when you're performing. So improv really helps people to become more self-confident. It's such a great practice for learning to be flexible and be able to pivot in your life a lot easier. I kind of wonder if I've adjusted to quarantine so easily because of my improv practice. It's like, oh, this is what's happening now. Okay, let's do this. Like, it just trains you to kind of pivot to whatever is happening in the moment and opening yourself up to that thing. So it's really a practice of being in the present moment. That's one thing. Another thing is, we talked about this earlier, although maybe it'll be later, depending on when you edit. full emotional expression, like moving from, you know, kind of being adults who, and I've taught adults, teens, and kids, but like people who are stifled in an adult box and going back to that childlike reality where we have access to a full emotional range. And improv really is about, and I say this in my classes a lot, going back into the child's mind. It's, you have to keep it simple. There's no room in improv for like getting super twisted on yourself and complex and like, keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple. We use our imaginations the way, you know, a lot of us did when we were kids, and we have full emotional expression. So like I said, I could talk about this for hours, but those are just like a few things that come to mind about the essence of what improv can give someone as they take it out into their own life.
I love that. Wow. It's really powerful practice. And it reminds me in some ways of like what practicing yoga brings to like a daily life. Like, you just get better at dealing with shit because you're sitting in a yoga pose, holding a difficult pose and learning how to breathe through it. And so it sounds like improv is kind of similar, like being able to pivot, make a different choice when life shows up differently.
I've actually started saying that. It's funny that you just said that. I've started saying to people that I'm starting to see improv more like yoga, in that it's a practice. And you can take a workshop and you can have a great time and you can have a transformation from that one workshop. But if it's a practice that you commit to for, you know, once a week for a few months, or once a week for a year, or once a week for a lifetime, or every day for a lifetime, like whatever, however it fits into your world, you're going to see more benefits, in the same way that somebody who practices yoga begins to see more benefits, begins to integrate the lessons and use them in their daily life.
Cool. I love that. Do you do private lessons as well, or do you mainly do group classes?
I do coaching, like one-on-one coaching. Yeah. So whatever someone's wanting to work on, whether it's, some people come to me when they, I had somebody recently reach out to me because she's nervous in interviews. And she's like, I just want to be more human in interviews and like make a better impression. So we would work that out, or people who are working on, you know, a speech or just individually something in your life, you know, one-on-one coaching with confidence. So yes, I do one-on-one.
Cool. Yeah. So I did want to, I know that this interview is like incredible, just keeps going, but I want to be respectful of your time as well. So just thinking of, I mean, it's incredible what you've done. You've built a business off of this this practice and this passion and this joy that you have with improv. And I think it's amazing that you're teaching accounting students, you know, and I'm just curious, like, was that an easy transition for you to kind of like monetize this more and more? I don't know if that's the word I want to use. Like, was it an easy transition for you to kind of build this into your successful business?
That's such a fun question. Super, super fun. Remind me, I have to get back to the meme about good question.
Okay. Yes. I was thinking about it.
So grounded. Grounded's the word. If you want to make money doing what you love, in my opinion, you just have to take baby steps. I think it's generally not a good idea. I will get into my own answer, but like, I'm just going global first. I think it's not a good idea. People get kind of like, I'm going to just create this business for myself and I'm going to, and then they get anxious and needy around getting clients. And then that energy is repelling. And so for me, I just started reading spiritual books at a really, really young age about creating money and creating, by the way, I don't have a ton of money. Like, it's not a big focus in my life, but what's important is, what you said, like being able to do what I love and make money doing what I love as an artist.
Yeah, sustainable, sustainable passion, creativity.
Yeah, yeah. So I think because I got some spiritual principles underneath me, you know, at age 20 or 21, I just knew that it was really important for me to follow my joy. So again, if something lit me up, to keep doing that, whether I was making money for it or not. And just to like follow the breadcrumbs as they presented themselves. Not that it was always like super easy and simple. It's easy to talk about this in hindsight and be like, oh, I just followed the breadcrumbs. And it was like, woo, you know, like, but in hindsight, it is pretty simple. But at the same time, I was a waitress for a long time. I was a barista for 10 years. So I was making money doing, you know, really simple work that I actually really, really enjoyed. While at the same time, you know, joining a professional improv company and then, you know, oh, the store opened to teach and the store opened. So it was like, it was very organic for me. I tried to keep it as organic as possible. Let's see, what was your question again?
Yeah. Just if it was, it sounds like you just kind of took it one step at a time. I was just kind of wondering if that was like an easy transition. I just kind of watched you like become more and more successful and more like kind of actively sustainable inside your passion and inside improv. And I just thought it was really cool that you were able to do that. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it was just like taking like grandiose visions and fantasies are great. Like, I love how you get people to really think about their desires and I love that stuff. It's fantastic. So have that, have your huge visions and then just like, what's the next step? And so I think I just kept always taking that next step and then various doors opened and I will assume that more doors will continue open. Like if we just focus on the basics of who am I? What did I love to do when I was a kid? Like what lights me up and just turn our attention towards those things, then a lot does unfold without us having to do very much.
I love it. Yeah, one step at a time, very practical. And I always, what I tell myself is like, it's okay if I didn't do like a million things today. It's okay if I didn't, you know, work like 8 hours, like super, super hard. Like if I took that next step, then I got myself closer to my vision of like what I'm creating.
I love that. And you know, that brings up a whole other conversation, but I know we have to stop at some point, but like, I'm just going to say it because I'm on Kim's podcast, but like, I don't think we're supposed to be working 8 hours a day. And I'm going to go further. I don't think we're supposed to be working 7 hours a day. And I'm going to go further. I don't think we're supposed to be working 6 or even 5 hours a day. Like, I think I do my best working like one to five hours a day, but let's veer towards one. Like,
yes.
Like, what is this? Like, what is this? And don't get mad at me. We have to work. We have to work for a living. Like, I understand. I'm just like saying some things that I think inside that I usually wouldn't speak out. But I just think it wouldn't hurt to change our vision of how the world can work.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that one big part of what you're talking about, it's like quality versus quantity. Like, are you really getting more done if you're sitting there like slaving away for 8 hours? Or like if you wake up, and again, you know, I'm speaking more to like creative professionals, but obviously bosses of other employees could start to restructure the way they, you know, structure things for their employees as well. Like this could be global, but for a creative professional, like getting up, like enjoying your morning tea or coffee, you know, like really feeling your creative juice and like kind of getting into it, that is so much more fulfilling. And like, you get so much further with it sometimes. Always. Let's just say always.
Oh my God. If you're not watching the video, I'm like raising the roof right now as Kim's talking. Yes. Quality versus quantity. Absolutely. Like, I think this is one of the lessons I'm getting from the fucking pandemic. Like, I don't want to sacrifice my soul's expansion for some rules that I never really wanted in the first place.
Hell fucking yeah. Hell yeah. So listeners might not know that I'm also an actress. I used to do a lot more acting, and I actually took an improv class with Anu a while back. And I find, what's that? Yeah, once.
All right, go ahead.
And I find improv pretty terrifying. But I've actually been considering trying to find an improv class here in France. So I will vouch for the benefits of doing an improv class, even if you find it terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're bringing up a point that I'm regretting the fact that I haven't brought it up. Like, of course it's terrifying. Like, I was completely terrified 22 years ago when I took my first improv class, shaking in my boots. Most of the people who sign up for my classes are very scared. So that's one of those intuition things. Like, you have to discern, is that fear that's saying, no, don't do it? Or is that fear that's kind of like, oh, this really scares me, but I think I might want to just experiment with it. Because nobody expects you to come into an improv class and be confident. Some people do, but most people are like, I'm terrified. And that's completely fine. And one of my gifts is holding space for people like that, because I am that person.
Amazing. Hell yeah. Sorry, I got really serious. Hell yeah. Well, before we wrap up, can you share just a little bit on your personal transmission? What is the space that you hold for people? Like, what is moving through you into the world? Can you just share like your personal transmission with us?
Oh my God. I like don't know what that means, but yes, the answer is light. It just seems like a pretty boring answer. But Yeah. And I think having the time to ground my light so profoundly by walking barefoot, you know, 1 to 2 hours every day in the woods, like, has just really grounded me very, very deeply. Not that I don't get ungrounded still, because I do, but I do feel, and I guess this is a safe place to say it, like, I do feel a very profound transmission of light coming through me. And that's why I love performing and teaching, because I love to share that light, like, as far and wide as possible. And not to say that I don't struggle and I don't have darkness within me, because I completely do. And it's a marriage of the darkness and the light, and letting that all be there.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your light and your darkness and all of you with me and with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. You're magical.
Where can people find you? Where can people watch you perform? Where can people work with you? Like, what's going on? How can we find you?
I do a lot on Facebook these days. So just if you friend me under Anu Tree Brode, B-R-O-D, I'm sure Kim will link all that stuff. Then I have a page called Wild Mind Improv on Facebook, and then Instagram, Anu_Tree_Wild_Mind_Improv. So that's pretty much where you can find information about my classes, you know, email me, whatever. I'm happy to talk. But social media is, like, especially during the pandemic, a place where I'm doing a lot of connecting.
Awesome. Thank you for being on my show today. It was such a pleasure
Thank
to get to talk
so
to you.
Much. Thank you, Kim. Thank
Bless you.
You.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, bye.